American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us.
All right, we are back. I wish we would have had this exchange on air during the break. I just walked back into the broadcast room and I said, guys, save it for the air. Okay, Brock in Canada, I don't know, my friend, if there's going to be a resolution to your satisfaction on this. Now, your position, once again, is simply stated what?
My position is that life is very, very precious and unique and given by God, and that there has to be, from all players, a far greater humility on the subject. We can't just arbitrarily say, oh, so-and-so said that if they ever got into a very bad state that, oh, I wouldn't want to live that way.
So,
well,
so,
how do you know? Just a minute. Hear me out, please.
Yes, go ahead.
How do you know? I mean, times may have changed. You may perceive, oh, gee, you know, I'm not able to produce, but I can still talk. But how do you know until you get in that state? Maybe it's like, gee, I wished I'd never said that. I found that I never thought so, but I found a new purpose for the rest of my life. How can you look ahead and predict? Oh, well, I mean, we're not machines. And I'm saying there has to be a greater humility on the preciousness of life. And that for you to say, oh, it's mine, it's mine. Well, it isn't yours. It was given to you by God. And so I'm
saying, is it yours to prevent
humility.
Me? Is it your right to prevent me from carrying out my wishes? Who has a superior claim to my life, you or me? You have
a
superior claim to your life, and I have a superior claim to my life.
What I'm trying to say, and you're not connecting with what I'm saying, is that neither me nor you can just arbitrarily,
but who gets to stop me?
Own our life,
sir.
Given by
sir.
God.
What, Brock, what he's going after is who's got the authority? Do you have the authority? Does a judge have the authority? Does a third party have the authority over this man's life? That's his point.
Who has the authority to stop me from entering into a contract for assisted suicide? Do you have the authority to do that?
No.
Okay, that's my only point. Don't interfere with my private wish and my private contract about my private life when my right is not interfering or trespassing on someone else's right to their life, liberty, or property.
Okay, Brock.
Don't trespass.
Okay, Brock, we appreciate, I think we got your point here, and I appreciate you coming up on air and sharing your view and your philosophy about this. This is a highly charged and contentious issue, and your point was made, and Bill, you made your point. We will move on, and thank you, Brock, for your phone call.
And
I do appreciate it.
And as Christine was saying during the break, if I am in pain and suffering and in agony every day, who is going to say, oh, Desi, life is so precious, you have to suffer and be in pain every day because I said so.
The way I look at this is that God granted me my life. My life, to steal, sorry, Rush, my life is on loan from God, okay? But if I'm in a position that I'm hospital bed-bound, that there's no chance of any recovery, I don't want to be artificially kept alive.
Never.
I never want that to happen.
Never.
And the other thing is, John, if you had...
I'll let the good Lord make the determination whether I live or I die.
But you might have to have a friend in to help you.
Right. If you had the choice between being starved and dehydrated to death or having somebody give you a needle where you go to sleep nice and pleasantly, which would you take?
All right. We'll deal with this. And, folks, I know you're chomping at the bit. Greg, James, Raymond, Rick, Richard, and everybody else. We'll get to all of your calls right after this break.
I can't believe it.
It truly is amazing.
You have to care enough about yourself to want to do something.
If you're tired of feeling sick or run down, this truly is the answer. I have so much energy now.
It makes you feel good.
And it's all natural.
Everyone in my family takes Cardivite.
Cardivite.
Cardivite. We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now, that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we're back. Christine brought up an interesting thing during the break. Remember the movie with Richard Dreyfuss in it, Whose Life Is It Anyway? Quadriplegic, car accident. The man was a sculptor. He felt that his life's worth went out the window along with the use of his body. And he was in a conscious state, fully aware. His brain was not damaged. And he wanted the feeding and the care stopped, and he wanted to die. I remember that movie very well.
Well, and he was
million-dollar
baby.
Mentally tortured.
Yeah, absolutely, because he couldn't do what he loved.
Now, so what does million-dollar baby have to do with anything?
It's exactly the same issue.
I didn't see the movie.
Obviously, you didn't.
Let's go back to the phones. Greg in Iowa. Hello, Greg. Thanks for joining us.
John?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's an old, I was going to address something that seemed to be a little confusion a while back before you got the Canadian call.
Yeah.
There's an old common law principle that says that you cannot destroy the king's property. And if we get down to the present time, I think we can see what's going on, even if it hasn't been explained to us and put into words.
You're right.
When a person is free, John, they're sovereign. They don't have any debt. Now, if you own your house and you truly own your house and yourself, I'm going to bring the two together, be it person or property. If you truly own yourself or your house, that means you have, under common law principle, if you're free, the right to destroy yourself.
Absolutely.
Now, when you get to date, if you take our society and it's not explained to us, but let's say that you own a home today. You want to determine whether you're a free society or not. If you own that home, and it's not there's no bank loan on it where the banker has a claim to it, which means you've subjugated that property to his will, then if you're in a free society, you can light a match to that house. Yes. If you're in a free society. So if you want to test whether you're in a free society or not,
right,
go home and try to light your house and find out if the state comes out and stops you and gives you a ticket or some other thing telling you you have that, do not have that right.
Exactly.
Now, when it comes to the person, we as an American people cannot possibly be free.
Wait, let me stop you for 1 second, Greg, for clarification. Okay, say you don't use a match to burn your house down and you bring in a bulldozer. I don't know. Hold on. I don't know if the state or the city or whatever is going to stop you from bulldozing your own house.
Yeah, because you'd have to have permits.
It makes no difference what the instrument is, John. The test is, can I destroy my own property?
And as long as you're not trespassing on someone else's equal right to their life, liberty, or property.
Well, we're only talking about real estate right now, lives.
As long as you're burning it, the smoke didn't damage somebody else and they didn't file a claim against you. I mean, assuming, let's say you're out in you got 20 acres and your house is out in the middle of 20 acres and you're not bothering anybody else, you should have the right to do that, as long as you don't then file a fraudulent insurance claim and claim that somebody else burned it down and
you
want the insurance money.
But the other test is for people, humans. First of all, because we are chattel to a national debt, we're automatically not free anymore.
Right.
In the eyes of the state, we are chattel. That means we are to work and pay our taxes to take care of the debt that we have created.
Exactly.
To the world. So you're not free at all until you get a society where you have no national debt. And you're still not free if you have personal debt. So you have to get out of debt right off the go if you want to start to be free. And then you have to test your freedom by doing things like, can I or can I not kill myself? If the state comes in and says you can't kill yourself, you're not free.
That's
now, what
exactly
that fellow in Canada is talking about is not a legal right. He was trying to talk moral right.
You're right.
God doesn't have an army on planet Earth to enforce his laws.
Right.
But in his eyes, and I can agree with him, if my relationship with God is proper, I probably do not have a moral right to kill myself, but I'm sure I have a legal right to do it if I'm free on planet Earth.
But the bigger question is, even if you don't have a moral right, does somebody else have a superior right to prevent you from doing it? Another man? Does the government or another man have the right to stop you?
If I'm free, I have a right to extinguish myself legally if
Absolutely.
I'm free. But if I'm a chattel to anybody, I have no legal right to kill myself because I take the king's property that way.
Exactly. And as Bill says, this is absolutely the basic fundamental issue in freedom. Are we free or aren't we?
Exactly. And we have never been free. And we got a confused society who hasn't defined its terms. And in that confusion, the tyrant lives, the despot lives, and he lives well. He lives off of the body of humanity because humanity hasn't defined its terms and doesn't know really what it's sunk into. It doesn't understand that the debt ring around your neck is your slavery. Get out of debt, and you can become a free society. Stay in debt, even if you will it on yourself, and don't cry because you're a bunch of slaves.
Exactly. Couldn't be said better.
That's
said.
Excellent point.
That's all I got. I just got to clarify. It's simple. By the way, John, on the abortion thing, see, in the eyes of the state, it's not a right. The abortion isn't a rights issue. It's a licensing by the state to kill what it owns.
Exactly.
The baby is owned by the state.
Exactly.
And it's simply telling you, you got a license. We'll give you a license to kill that baby like we'll give you a license to be an electrician or
exactly.
a plumber or anything else.
Exactly.
And
right.
when that baby's finally at a certain point, the state will say to you, the baby doesn't have a right to kill itself because it's now chattel, and you don't have a right to kill that baby either because you can't destroy the king's property.
That's right, and that property is now pledged to the king.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate your
You're
call.
Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Good point.
Another call from Canada. Raymond. Hello, Raymond.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I want to congratulate you and your team for your broadcast. It comes really clear out in Canada. Do you understand me?
I understand you perfectly, sir.
Okay, very good. And I want to congratulate you for the courage that you have to expose the facts about the people's alienation. Now, I I would like to know, I agree with what Greg said, you know, and that nobody would have the right to prevent you from taking your life if you want to, because this is your freedom. But like he brought this idea of the king's property. Now, I would like to know, is there any way that we can work our way to, legally, to become sovereigns, to get back our sovereignty on the basis of that we were alienated unconscionably.
Well, I believe there is, but we cannot do it as long as we have the debt, as he spoke about, and we cannot do it as long as we have war powers, because the war powers are the thing that keep us enslaved and indebted. And so until we have peace and throw off the war powers, we can never truly have freedom.
Okay. Now, is there a website where I can get more information on, let's say, do you think a trust foundation or some kind of a corporation soul or something would be useful, would be valuable in Canada to set up for an individual?
No, I don't think trusts or corporation souls or any of those things are viable entities anymore. Once a time they may have been. However, they've been distorted and abused and misused. I believe that we have to get freedom for ourselves and stand there out in plain sight and slug it out with them.
He may be speaking. Are you speaking about in the interim until the problem is fixed permanently?
Yes, because in the meantime we have to try to keep as much as possible our earnings, you know, or
right.
Fruit of our work, and how can we manage that, you know?
Well, again, you have to find your own way, and I think you have to achieve your freedom in your own, you have to look to see what's enslaving you and throw those things off. I believe you have to resign from the trust in which they hold you.
And that would be all in a perfect world. Once we claim our freedom and our liberty and our sovereignty, and we're not involved with what they by implied contract or any other tomfoolery or trickery, that would be one thing. But the state doesn't back away from you once you make that claim.
Well, it has backed away from a few people that have done it properly that I happen to know.
Yeah.
But I believe that you have to stop. You have to absolutely stop taking any benefit whatsoever, and I think you have to notice some of that you're not taking any benefit, and anything that they compel you to is not a benefit, because you can't be compelled to a benefit. But more than anything else, I think you have to resign from your duty and obligation that they hold you to, that you've never read the contract on.
That would solve the problem on here in this country, at least, on Social Security. I mean, this whole thing is set up because you're going to receive a benefit. Well, I never agreed to do that. They told me that in order to work, to get permission to work, you have to get a Social Security number. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, and then
they convinced every employer in the world that that's the truth.
And I want to talk about Dick Simcannon also in this hour for a few minutes, because he's got an appeal coming up. Anything else, Raymond? Good point.
Yeah, but that is an unconscionable contract, so we should be able to get out of this thing.
That's absolutely right. They never showed you the terms of the contract, and I would like to see, because you have a duty and obligation, I would like to see your letter of acceptance where the trust document was laid out exactly for you. In other words, they gave you some documentation that said exactly what your duties and obligations were, and you signed that in good faith. That's what I'd like to have them produce.
Okay. Now, you had a very interesting broadcast the other day, and you were mentioning those layers and layers and layers of trust, you know?
Yes.
You remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You know, sometimes it's not a reproach, but sometimes you speak a little fast, you know, on the air, and we have a little problem following you. You know, the reasoning.
That's okay. I get to watch your lips move, and I sometimes have a hard time following her.
Because you know what, it is so interesting. We would like to understand, you know.
Right.
And it's very interesting. Really.
Well, and
I would like to and I would like to have some kind of an access to this.
Well,
let
me tell you how you can get access of it, because we don't have transcripts of it, but we do have archives.
Okay.
Okay, that you can go up to the archives on any given Thursday since last August, and you can listen to any show that we've done with Desi and Marcia Duer, Bill Veith, or anybody else.
And if I didn't get so impassioned, I wouldn't speak so quickly. My apologies.
Hey, thanks for your call, Raymond. We got a break. God bless you. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Dano Cafe? Dano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Dano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great-tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
All right, we're back. Well, we know one thing. Terry was not murdered because she said she wanted to be killed. All right. The clear and convincing evidence accepted by Judge Greer was Michael Saso, propped up by his brother and sister-in-law. What a fine family. No family member nor close friend ever heard Terry mention the subject one way or the other, except to exclaim loudly and passionately that where there's life, there's hope. Now, she said that after she watched a docudrama of a woman who was in a coma for 20 years, and I'm assuming that that's Karen Ann Quinlan. Do we have the right? Does the state have the right? Does its judiciary have a right? Does the executive have the right? Who's got the right? That is basically the subject matter that we're discussing today. Rick in Ohio. Hello, Rick. Hi, Rick. You go ahead. Rick, are you there?
Rick.
Put him back on hold. We'll go to Richard in Alabama. Hello, Richard.
I want you folks to discuss the situation where someone's in a vegetative state because of the misconduct of others. Perhaps they've been arrested and battered and drugged and poisoned.
And boy, doesn't that happen a lot.
And now they're in a vegetative state, but it's all caused by the same people that are facing the judge and ask him for permission to put you out of your misery and do away with the crime scene. Now, what do you think of that one?
Well, let me address that. First of all, I already said I don't believe in euthanasia. Euthanasia is when someone else decides you die. Assisted suicide is when you get to decide and other people can't prevent you from fulfilling, carrying out the, your private contract with someone. But the other question is, who's paying, you know, who's paying for somebody to stay alive in a vegetative state for 30 and 40 years? You see, the public in America thinks that their taxes are paying for this stuff. What most people don't realize is every penny that's spent by Medicare and Medicaid is borrowed into existence, and it's creating a bigger and bigger debt. So it looks like, hey, we've got all the money we need to take care of people no matter what kind of condition they're in. If you took the government out of it completely, took the welfare state out of it completely, and then people would have to, on their own, pay for their own care, buy insurance policies to take care of it, then they get to decide. There's no controversy.
And it doesn't matter if the person got there through a wrongful death. I mean, the circumstances, once a person is in a vegetative state, regardless of as if they were beat to death by a vicious guard or if they were in a car accident, the circumstances are, when they get to that state, what would the person want? And it's unfortunate, because I hear the anger in your voice, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. Because
the body is a crime scene.
Yeah, the body is a crime scene,
right.
And they dispose of it.
But who pays for all these people to stay alive?
Well, and it used to be, I wanted to interject this, because this train of thought came around before. You mentioned the welfare state. Well, before we had the welfare state, we had charitable organizations. We had organizations that would start themselves, fund themselves through charitable donations.
And that's where it should be.
Churches.
Social Security came out of the poor laws.
Churches. Can I finish?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Churches would intervene. They would take the family in. They would, if their house burnt down, they'd find them housing. If they didn't have any clothes, they'd find them clothing. If they were unemployed, they'd help find them a job. But it wasn't this persistent crutch, which the welfare state in this country, to the point that people in this country now believe that government owes them something.
But the point of the matter is, the poor laws, once upon a time, the churches took care of the poor under the poor laws.
Right.
The churches, it was their job to take care of their congregation.
Right.
And the churches didn't want that responsibility anymore because it was too heavy a burden or it took too much out of their coffers. And so that's, therefore, out of the poor laws came Social Security. And the churches all bought into that and became 501c3s and took the benefits of the government in return for not taking care of their flock.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Richard?
Well, I don't think you, in fairness, you didn't answer the question.
Okay, let me say this about the crime scene. The body, the body that's in a vegetative state is the evidence from a crime scene. Can that body produce any more evidence if it's kept alive for the next 10 years? Or is it just like the rest of the items that are a crime scene? It's bundled up, the facts are taken, it's put in an envelope and put in a drawer.
Sir, let me again ask you a question. Let's suppose, hypothetically, there were no welfare state. The government did not pay for any of this. Who would pay for that person in the vegetative state? Would you?
Richard?
Well, if there's a serious investigation to come, I think the taxpayers have a duty to take care of
that. But the taxpayers don't pay for that now, sir.
Huh?
The taxpayers don't pay for that now. It's borrowed into existence.
Every dime.
Every dime of taxes goes to pay
the
interest on what was borrowed.
Not at the state level.
Every dime.
Yes, sir. Your taxes don't pay for one penny of that person.
You mean in the state prison?
In the state prison, anything that goes to run that prison is borrowed into existence.
In all the hospitals, all the Medicare, all the Medicaid, all the government payout programs, every penny is borrowed into existence. Your taxes haven't paid for one penny towards anybody to stay alive
not
or their
one.
Care. Not a penny.
Not one.
And that's the whole
problem,
that you people don't realize that, and that's what perpetuates the welfare state.
But see, the vegetative state that is not kept as evidence of the crime, do you expect it to get better and testify? Is that what your hope is? I mean, in a vegetative state, what evidence can it produce? I mean, it's vegetative.
All right, Richard. Richard, we got to take the break. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll clarify any points. If you have any further questions, we'll also cover that. Louise, DJ Roger, and others, we will take your phone calls. Pardon? Lois, what did I say? Louise? Okay, Lois. We'll talk to you also.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at CalbendPureSoap.com.
Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we're back. Talking about the Terry Schindler case. Case is closed. She died this morning at 8:03 Central Time after 13 days and some 9 hours and some odd minutes. The issue, does the court have a business in this? I don't like the way any of this was handled. This is a debate that's going to rage for quite some time. It's in the political arena now where I don't think that it should be. This is a matter of law, the matter of individual sovereignty, and the determination for your own life without the aid of the state. It gets complicated, though, doesn't it? If we strip the emotional elements out of this, it then becomes kind of a cold, dead issue. And I don't mean to make a pun out of that, but that's the basic facts, folks. This is something that we all face, and it's a matter of how we face that, our eventual end. Nobody gets out of this life alive, folks. We all have to check out. Let's go back to the phones. This is Louise, is it?
Lois.
Lois, I'm sorry. Lois in Kentucky. Hello, Lois.
Hi. My question, hi, Bill. Hi, Chris.
Hello,
is on the assisted suicide issue. And I understand where you're coming from about, you know, your sovereignty and that kind of thing. But my question is, if you've, you're saying more or less that it should be your right to go into a private contract with a third party to take your life if you're in a position that you don't feel that your life is worth living or whatever reason. But my question is, that to me would be homicide, bringing another person in. And what difference would that be in taking your own life or contracting with a hitman, let's say, another person killed?
I can answer that. Because if I have a right to something, then I have a right to give up that right. In other words, if I contract with somebody, it's not homicide because he didn't take my life. I voluntarily, intentionally, and knowingly entered into a contract to have him perform a duty and obligation that I wanted him to perform. How could that possibly be homicide?
It's taking a human life.
It's taken my life because
the thing is, it's a third party.
No, he's a second party. You are the third party if you try to intervene in that contract.
Right, a second party per se.
Right, you would be the third party if you try to trespass into that contract.
Well, insurance companies won't pay.
Pardon me, I'm not talking about insurance companies.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, my point is, that is why insurance companies won't pay for someone who has been, like, let's say, Kevorkian'd, because it's considered homicide.
Insurance companies won't pay on a suicide policy, except after the two-year exclusion, and then they will pay.
I won't try to collect the insurance.
Lois, I did not hear what you were saying.
Go ahead. On an assisted suicide, Desi?
Yes.
Or is that just on an
assisted suicide is a suicide, period.
And
trust me, I sold insurance for a long time. There's a suicide clause for 2 years in most contracts, and after that, it pays for any suicide.
Lois, let me ask you this question. Do you think that you have a superior right to come in and prevent me from doing something that I want to do, that I have a right to do?
As far as if you personally decide to kill yourself, that's
right. Okay, now let's.
In my mind, that's your.
Now
you have to stop him, right?
Okay, now you're saying that if I want to kill myself, okay, now let's say I'm in a car accident, and I'm a quadriplegic and I cannot kill myself, but I don't like the way I'm living. I'm incontinent of bladder. I'm incontinent of colon. I'm lying in a bed every day. There's no purpose left to my life.
They start to amputate your legs because of rot.
For whatever reason, I decide I don't like this existence, and I want a contract with someone to help me end it. Do you think the government has the right to come in and forcibly prevent that contract from taking place?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And that's your right.
So then I am not free to do what I want with my body, that you and the government have a superior claim to my body than I do.
I think murder is an issue.
Boy, there's a big difference between murder and suicide.
Lois, stop. Everybody. We can hear everybody's viewpoint if we're talking over each other. Lois, go ahead and restate what you just said, and then Jesse will pick it up.
All right, I misspoke. I meant second person. When you're asking another person to do this, then they are committing homicide, whether or not you are asking them to do it, or whatever. Right. That is my point.
Okay.
Well,
now go ahead, Desi.
It doesn't meet the legal definition of homicide. It's nowhere to homicide. And if you don't have the right to contract with anybody for anything concerning you, your rights, your life, or your property, then you are not free. I intend to be free.
They never charged Kevorkian with homicide, did they?
No.
They can't. It's not the definition of homicide.
The Constitution says the government shall not impair the
obligations of
contracts. That our whole country was set up on, I can contract for anything I want as long as I'm not trespassing on the right to someone else's life, liberty, or property. No one can trespass on that contract. That's in our Constitution. I didn't make that up. Our forefathers did. Now, you are trying to trespass on my right to privately contract with somebody if you prevent me from carrying out that contract, or if you send in the government agents to prevent me from carrying out that contract.
Does the Constitution specifically deal with this issue or your issue of the right to contract? Now, is it one of a moral or ethic question of ethics? Can you contract because nobody else has the right to interfere with your contract with anybody else?
Well, first of all, you have no constitutional rights in the Constitution. What you have are constitutionally protected rights. That Constitution is a document which limits the powers of government, and it says that they cannot impair a contract. You can make a contract with anybody you want to because that is your right. That is your unalienable right.
That's called freedom.
And the government cannot interfere, nor is it in the nothing in the Constitution tells you what you can or can't do. It tells the government what they cannot do. And that's what the Constitution is.
And Lois, your contention is that this is homicide, and I got to agree with the in-studio guest that, that this doesn't look like homicide.
Well, I was just looking as we were talking under homicide law and legal definition.
Yeah.
It just says homicide is the killing of a human being due to the act of failure to act of another. Due to the act or failure to act of another. Criminal homicides include murder and manslaughter. Non-criminal homicides.
It's not homicide if I give permission.
That's why there's a suicide.
That's why it's called suicide.
Death by
okay.
self.
Okay. Thanks for your answers.
All right.
Lois,
thank you. I appreciate your call. This is going to go on for a long time, guys.
Well, here we have the Office of Debt Management, which is under the United States Treasury, and it says the Treasury Department's primary goal in debt management is to finance government borrowing needs at the lowest cost over time. And they do that through a systematic and periodic incrementation of debt into the system. They borrow every dime. It's right there on the in the Treasury's website.
You know,
so we could always degenerate this into the argument of, I don't want my taxes paying for another person.
No, because your taxes don't go anywhere.
But
your
most
taxes
people don't understand. You think these dummies that are responding to polls right now, being done by all these news medias out here, have a clue about that?
That every dime is borrowed?
No, they don't. I already know the answer to that one.
You see, but, you know, getting back to Lois's point, just like I don't think I have the right to come in and have the government kill somebody.
No.
That would be euthanasia. But I think it's equally as wrong for somebody to come in and have the government prevent me from killing myself or carrying out a contract where I kill myself.
Because you consider yourself to be a free man.
I consider it to be free, and I consider that government intervention both either way.
A note to our listeners out there, we are under a severe weather watch here for the next foreseeable or non-foreseeable future.
I can see why, or not see why.
If we get knocked on the air, it's not the fault of anybody out there. No, you didn't make us mad. We didn't hang up on you.
Already went out.
Yeah, I know. So hang in there, folks. We've got battery backup. We should stay on the air unless we lose your phone calls. And if that's the case, just dial right back in. That doesn't last long. We're not going to have time to talk about this issue, and we're going to have to save this for next Thursday. The Simcannon appeal is now underway. Dick Simcannon, if you don't know about this case, I was there for his trial. Here was a man that did not want to play tax collector for the government, and this was over the withholding of Social Securities and so on and so forth, out of their checks. He was not being a party to that, and he told his employees that I'm not going to be a tax collector for the United States government. If you want to pay your taxes in whatever form that they're demanding, that's up to you, but he backed out of this. The problem that I saw with this is the government thinks that because of the Social Security, the employer has to pay half, compel the employer to pay half, and the person that is into this implied contract for that benefit, whether they want it or not, is responsible for the other payment. And we'll talk about this more next Thursday.
Let me just say this.
Yes.
That's under a 218 agreement. The only ones that can have the only ones that can withhold are those that have a 218 agreement. The only ones that can have a 218 agreement are U.S. government agencies. And the reason they have a 218 agreement is because they withhold a portion from the from the U.S. government employee's paycheck, and then the government grants them the remaining matching amount.
See,
it's a grant.
See, and this is insane because now we got George in order to, and he doesn't have to tackle this issue right now, in order for Mr. Bush to get the heat off of him, he's trooping around the country, of course, making the plans with Vincente Fox and making plans with Ariel Sharon here to possibly attack Iran or whatever the case. No, George takes up the issue as to whether to privatize Social Security system, and here is a system again, folks. Now, the government is telling you one thing. It is telling you that, yes, we are in charge of looking out after you retire, your retirement benefits, they refer to them as, or your Medicaid or your Medicare. You're being forced to pay for this.
Benefits.
You're being forced to pay for this, and the question is, should the government be able to mandate you? Well, by all sense, absolutely not. But try not not paying taxes into that system for the benefit and see what happens to you.
Well, I asked Bill on the way up not to call it a government anymore because it specifically says that the government, and he just slipped all over the place.
Yeah.
The government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. That is not what we have. What we have are departments and agencies, nothing that are masquerading as a government. We do not have a government. We have departments and agencies who are pretending to be offices and officers of a government.
But they're compelling you at the point of a gun if you don't comply.
Well,
sometimes
actually, when you
they'll jail you if you don't comply.
Well, and hey, listen, I understand they're doing a criminal investigation on me. They want to put me away because I'm too vocal. So, I mean, they're looking real at me right now with a lot of scrutiny. I mean, I had a government public defender the other day tell somebody that I was a conspiracy nut. I don't know which nut that is, pecan, walnut, I'm not sure what that is, and I'm not certain what conspiracy it is. I'm not exactly a conspiracy nut, but the defamation campaign has already begun a long time ago. First, they defame my character and say what kind of a nut I am. And all the while, they're snooping around on my telephone lines and every place else to amass evidence against me. Which,
well, you may be a terrorist. I mean, you're fitting the classic definition, Ms. Desi Andrews, of today in this world. You're fitting the classic definition of a terrorist.
Yes, I speak the truth and I read. I had a friend tell me that he had a friend of his indicted, and on the indictment it actually said one of the charges against him was that he gave out the IRS Title 26 manual to people to read.
And that
was a crime.
Well, it's part of your conspiracy.
Mm.
Let's go back to the phones. DJ in Illinois, thanks for holding, DJ.
Hey, no problem. How are you all?
Good.
Fine.
Got something like a storm cellar to head to?
not really. Down here in Texas, we don't have storm cellars. We don't even have basements. It's called crawl in your bathtub, and we don't have one of those here. So
we have too high a water level here.
Yeah.
Water table.
What's on your mind, DJ?
Okay, I've got a couple comments and a couple questions. They're kind of predicated on each other. You talk about having the right, if you are completely free, to contract with someone if you decide that you no longer want to live physically. But the problem with that, the biggest problem with that, as I understand it, is that not one of us, no person who has ever lived, has been able to contract with someone to create them and birth them in whatever country they choose, under whatever circumstances they choose. If we do not have the ability to start it, where do we get off thinking we've got the ability to end it?
Well, I'd say the bigger question is, who has the right to stop me? Do you have the right to stop me?
If I were amongst the groups of those you believe with or worship with or your family.
That you have a superior claim over my life than I have over my life. That's
no,
why people will never be free.
Your creator has a superior claim over
Pardon me?
Your life. Your creator
That's
has
right. So it's between me and my creator, so everybody else needs to butt out.
And how do you know you didn't make a contract with the big dude before you got here that you had the right to do it? How do you know what your contract with your creator is? Maybe you already arranged this. Hey, big dude, when I come down here, if I get incapacitated, is it all right if I pull the plug? And he says, sure, I don't want you to suffer. I love you. You're one of mine. Come on back.
You know, I mean,
how do you know you don't have that contract?
Are you going to come in and say, okay, I know you're suffering. You say you're suffering horribly and you want to leave this world, but we're going to make you stay alive. And we're going to send the government in to make you stay alive. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'm not talking about the government.
Well, who's going to make
I am saying,
who's going to
okay,
impair my contract?
Wait a minute. What did you say, DJ?
She's not talking about the government.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to get a couple points out here, please.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you. Oh man, where was that question? I'm not talking about any government. Period. Supposing that a person. We're not the king's bond slave or whatever else. We are spiritual bond slaves in our bodies as well as outside our bodies. It depends on whom we are to. We do not have the right to say over our bodies as far as when they begin the life of them.
May I finish, please?
Hurry up, DJ. We're running out of time.
I'm trying here.
Okay.
It's kind of hard.
Well, go ahead.
If we do not have the right to decide, I really think it's ridiculous to say, how do we know we didn't? Surely somebody would have somewhere along the line. Well, except for the Messiah. He knew.
Okay, all right.
We don't have the right to end what we did not start.
Does the state then have the right if you don't have the right? Because here's what the state is doing. It's assuming it has the right.
It's assuming it has the right because we have not woken up and dealt with the false government.
So there is absolutely no way you could die unless God came down and took you.
Let me ask you one question.
Sure.
Okay, let's assume we don't know who has a right and who doesn't. And you say that this is not about the government. My question is then, who gets to stop me if I decide I want to do that? Who has the authority and the power to stop me from entering into that contract?
You don't have the right to make that contract.
No, I'm not asking you that. I'm asking who has the authority and the power and the right to stop me? Name the entity that has the right to stop me.
DJ, he's nailing you down here.
He's assuming that he has a right.
No, I'm not
to
assuming that. I'm asking you a specific question. Who has the power, the authority, and the right to stop me? Name the entity. Give me the name.
Anybody with a brain on their head.
Okay, so you have. Then you do, right? You got a brain on your head. So you're saying you have the right to stop me from entering into that and exercising that contract. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, hold on here, please. I have been through times in my life when I was in such pain that I couldn't see whether I was going to be out of it in the next day, the next week, the next month, could not function, could not get any painkiller that would numb it. It was a nerve injury, a severe one. But while I was in that state, nobody else had the right to come in and contract with me in my altered mental state to say, hey, you know, I don't want to live like this.
I agree.
Did you ask anybody? Please. Did you ask anybody to do
of
that?
Of course not.
Okay, so that was your choice.
Well, no. I had no means of knowing if it was ever going to
It
end.
Doesn't matter. Your choice was to stay alive. That was your choice and your right.
My choice was that.
You don't know me because you're alive.
No. You're still not dealing with my point. My choice is an understanding that I did not create myself.
But that's your choice. That's your right.
This is the point. And, DJ, you're lumping this in with everybody else.
And we
else.
Honor your choice.
You're lumping this in with everybody else and then the grand creator. Look. Whatever you do in this life, it's my belief that you're going to have to answer the maker for your choices. What we are talking about here is your choice. You're saying you don't have one, okay? But does that apply to Bill Veith? Does that apply to Desi Andrews? Does that apply to me or anybody else? So here's the sticky wicket about this.
You made your choice, and we honor your choice.
Right. We're not trying to force you to do something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to force me to do something I don't want to do?
I'm not trying to force you
then
to do
Then I have
anything.
The right to
You're
contract for assisted suicide without interference from a third party, an uninvited third party.
Bill, you have not dealt with the issue. You haven't touched it, as far as I heard, of what a person's mental state is. If their mental state is not healthy at that moment, aside from the psychobabble industry, which is nothing but trouble, if a person's mental health is not in a good state and they do not have the means of dealing with whatever the trauma is in their life at that time, be it mental or physical, and they do not see a way out and they say, okay, I have the right to contract with somebody to do me in, or I have the right to do it myself. I don't believe that that is true.
They're the ones that get to answer for it. Only them.
Right.
Okay. It's their life. It's not your life.
DJ, I think we have the cards on the table, and we're not accepting each other's point of view on this deal. So we have to digress.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your courage and to call up on the air and state your point of view.
Well, like I said, if we didn't create ourselves, I don't think we have the right to, or the right
well,
to
and,
expect
and that,
somebody
that,
else.
And
to
you know
do
what?
You,
and you know what? I kind of agree with what you're saying. I just said it earlier. I didn't give myself life. I don't even understand this life. I'm more than halfway through it, and I still don't get it yet.
I don't get it.
And I may not, and I may not ever get it. Maybe I'm not supposed to know the grand secrets of the universe here. But I do believe that my life was given to me by God, and He's going to take me whenever He desires. Now,
yes.
With the stipulation here, that if I'm ever in a position like you started to describe, what happened to you, severe nerve damage, whether it's a car accident or whatever the circumstance, if I am in a hospital and the only thing that they're going to do is plug me up to a machine just to sustain what I would consider not to be a life, I do not want that to happen. I will put it in the good Lord's hand, and there it goes. But I don't want a judge. I don't want some politician. I don't want people saying, well, this is what we think you should do. We want you to subscribe to what my belief system is.
Right.
And that's the whole point of this.
You just stated what I was getting at. You were willing to unplug the artificial stuff and leave it in the good Lord's hands.
Right. But we're also talking about, and we keep beating around this bush, we're talking about this other entity that has the right to come in and decide.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
This is part and parcel of it. I mean, there are areas of the country where Mr. Michael would have had enough of shellacking, he'd have been willing to let her go.
Well, and that's an issue for another show. We'll see what happens, Mr. Shivo, here in the near future. But
I'd like to make a comment. I know
you have to do it quickly. I have another caller holding.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I really believe that if we as a people in this country, especially those of us who claim to follow Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, whatever you choose for term.
What if, okay, let me stop you.
What if
somebody doesn't believe in Jesus Christ and doesn't believe in God? What do you do with these people? What do you do with them?
You call them heathens.
We can't throw them into a category. We can't damn them for not saving their own souls. What do we do with these people? 50% of the people wanted the Ten Commandments yanked out of the school system, out of the courts.
It would be interesting to know what kind of questions or leading questions they were asked to get that kind of reply.
Well, and
everybody believes the same as everyone else.
See,
I understand it.
But it's getting worse in this country. This country has become polarized.
Yeah, you either believe my way or you're no good.
Well,
a Christian respects another person's
choice.
Well,
you know, so does
that
a Buddhist.
That includes their choice for spiritual life or death.
Gosh, you guys are angry today.
Well, you know, I just get so tired of people thinking that Christianity is the only religion, and it's a minority religion in the world.
But
I respect the Muslims, I respect the Buddhists, I respect all of them. I think that
minority? Well, since when did Christianity become the minority? I thought it was the biggest one.
In the world?
Yeah. Buddhism is? Buddhism's over Christianity?
Lord,
well, I know one thing. Buddhists didn't start this country. A bunch of Christian people.
No, they did not.
Who didn't? Whoa. We're going to have to save this for another show. Hey, DJ, thanks for your call. I appreciate voicing your opinion on this deal. Are you still there?
Okay. Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The last half of that sentence was, if we don't take care of this issue, I think we're in for a judgment.
If we don't take care of ourselves and assume our own personal responsibility,
definitely,
we're in for a judgment.
Right.
And it's already on us. It's called oppression.
We'll pick up with your issue later, Desi. Thanks all for joining us in on this discussion today. It's sometimes contentious, but it needs to be talked about. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.